You may be seated. If you turn your Bible to Acts chapter 1, Acts chapter 1, as we continue our series on the deeper walk, this is part 3, the anointing of the Holy Ghost. The anointing of the Holy Ghost. I'm going to be using a lot of scripture this morning to lay a foundation, and then we're going to go on in what the Lord would say to us. But we must have more than words, because the letter kills, and it's the Spirit that gives life. And the church has been placed in the world for one reason, and that is to manifest the glory, the anointing, the miracle-working power, and the miracle-working presence of God. Amen. We're reading from Acts 1 and 1. The former treatise have I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and teach, until the day in which he was taken up, after that he, through the Holy Ghost, had given commandments unto the apostles whom he had chosen, to whom also he showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs. An infallible proof is when a drug addict is delivered and they're free forevermore. An infallible proof is when a sinner comes into a church and his life is gloriously transformed by the glory and the power and the anointing of God. An infallible proof is when an alcoholic that beats his wife, he gets changed into a saint of God. And instead of picking up the booze in the bottle, he picks up the Bible and begins to live a holy life. That's what an infallible proof is. Hallelujah. Verse 3, to whom also he showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days and speaking of things pertaining to the kingdom of God. And being assembled together with them, Jesus with his disciples, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which saith he, ye have heard of me. For John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. When they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, will that this time restore again the kingdom of Israel? And he said unto them, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father has put in his own power. Now look at verse 8. But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost parts of the earth. And when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into the heavens? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as you have seen him go into heaven. We've been singing about heaven this morning. We've been singing about a new home. We've been singing about being with our loved ones. Hallelujah. He said, this same Jesus which you've seen go up into heaven shall so come in like manner as you have seen him go up into heaven. Then they returned unto Jerusalem from the mount called Olivet, which is from Jerusalem a Sabbath day's journey. And when they were come in, they went up into an upper room where abode Peter and James and John and Andrew and Philip and Thomas, Bartholomew and Matthew, James the son of Alphaeus, and Simon Zelotes, and Judas the brother of James. Verse 14. And these all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication. They were a united church. Hallelujah. They all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication with the women and Mary the mother of Jesus and with his brethren. Now verse 8 is a key verse. So I want us to look at verse 8 once again. But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in Judea and in Samaria and to the uttermost parts of the earth. My subject, the anointing of the Holy Ghost. Let us pray. Father, thank you so much for the singing. And there is an excitement in the air. Holy Ghost, you're here. You're in our midst. And you're not a playboy to tickle our fancy. You're a worker. And you're here on a mission. You're here to bring people out of darkness into the marvelous light. You're here to sanctify people. You're here to deliver people. You're here, Holy Ghost, to do a work that only you can do and fill people with the Holy Ghost and fire, the gift that Jesus sent to his church. Thank you for the anointing. Thank you for a listening ear. Holy Ghost, split soul and spirit asunder this morning. Let your word find its target. And everyone said in Jesus' name, amen. In the first chapter of Acts, Jesus is dealing with his disciples after his crucifixion, after his burial, and after his resurrection. And this is a group of disciples that are discouraged. Sometimes people get discouraged. How many of you know this? This is a group of men that have become disenchanted because they had seen their only hope hanging on a cross. They thought that he was going to establish an earthly kingdom. And they thought that they were going to be rulers in that kingdom because they had left all that they had to follow Jesus. They had left the Jewish religion. They had to give up their families, even some of them. They had to give up positions in the community. They had left everything to take up their cross and follow Jesus. Amen. And now they see him hanging on a cross. Let me give you the background that leads up to this. See, the Jews did not kill Jesus. The Roman spear did not kill Jesus. There was not a Jew or a Roman, dead or alive, that could kill Jesus. He said earlier, "This one thing have I received from my Father. I have the power to lay my life down, and I have the power to take it up again." Jesus became a voluntary sacrifice. That's how much he loves you. He said, "Greater love hath no man than this, than he lay down his life for his friends." So Jesus was a voluntary sacrifice. He was manifest in the flesh for one purpose, and that purpose was Calvary. He was born in a manger to die on a cross. And Paul said later, "God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me and I unto the world." You may not have reached that place of complete crucifixion yet. Maybe that's why God has you here today. Maybe that's why God has me preaching this series of sermons on the deeper walk with the God. But Jesus was born in a manger to die on a cross. The Son of God divested himself of all of his deity to become a man. He became the Son of Man. He liked to refer to himself as the Son of Man. He was God in the flesh. John said, "We beheld his glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and of truth." Jesus liked to refer to himself as the Son of Man. He did that so he could identify himself with you and me. He became the Son of Man so you and I could become, who are sons of men, we could become the sons of God. Hallelujah. And I want to tell you something. The greatest thing that can ever happen to you is when Jesus Christ reaches down into the depths of sin, he picks you up, washes you in his blood, takes out that old stony heart, puts in a heart of flesh, clothes you in his righteousness, records your name in the Lamb's book of life, and then God calls you his child. Hallelujah. We are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. He who knew no sin was made sin with our sin so he could turn around and impute to you the gift of righteousness. That word righteous means you have, if you've ever been born again, a right standing with God. You may not know who you are yet, but you are a child of God. And I'll tell you something. Hell will fight you over who you are in God. And hell will tell you you're not everything that you think you are. The devil even appeared to Jesus in his wilderness experience and said, "If thou be the Son of God, change this stone into bread." But Jesus knew who he was. And you've got to come to the place that you know who you are in God. Because once you see that, hallelujah, you'll be free from sin. Sin will lose its hold. Sin will lose its dominion. And you'll be able to walk in the newness of holiness. Not because you're keeping a bunch of laws and precepts and concepts, but because your life has been changed. You come out of darkness into the marvelous light. And now you do it because you love him and you want to serve him. Go on and pray. And hallelujah to the Lamb. Glory to God. Look at 1 John 3 and 2. John said, "Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Hallelujah. Now, Jesus was on this earth for approximately 30 years, and he never performed a single miracle for those first 30 years. Think about it. Silent years in the life of Jesus. And you never find him performing one miracle during that time. He never opened blinded eyes or unstopped deaf ears or caused the lame to walk until something supernatural happened to Jesus. That happened when he came up out of the water at his baptism. When John took him and brought him up out of that water, the Bible says the Holy Ghost came on him. Hallelujah. The Holy Ghost came upon him. The heavens split open, and the Father shouted out, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." I want you to know that the Father looks at you and he sees someone that he calls his child. If you've ever been to Calvary, it's not by your good works of righteousness which you've done. It's by his grace that you're saved. It's the power of the blood. We get our heads all puffed up sometimes and we think we're somebody great. No, Jesus is great. Jesus is the great I am. He's the bright morning star. We don't need preachers that are stars. We need preachers that will point us to the bright and morning star. Like John said, I must decrease so he can increase. But I need him and I need the Holy Ghost, the Spirit of truth, to lead me and guide me. Go and praise God, because you're in a church that preaches the whole counsel of God. Hallelujah. Heaven split open when he came out of the water, and the Father said, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." Now, some people have been taught that it's not necessary to speak in tongues when you get the Holy Ghost. See, when you get saved, you get the witness of the Spirit. But when you get filled with the Holy Ghost, that's another dimension, a deeper walk that you have partaken of in your walk with God. See, when you receive the Holy Ghost, you will speak in tongues. This is the biblical pattern, and it's found throughout the book of Acts. When you get saved, you get the witness of the Spirit, but when you get filled with the Holy Ghost, you will speak in tongues as the Spirit gives utterance. This is the initial physical evidence that you have received the Holy Ghost, and you will speak in tongues as the Spirit of God gives the utterance. But listen to me. The Holy Ghost is not a tongue. The Holy Ghost is a person. And I read it to you. Jesus told his disciples that the Holy Ghost could not come unto them. He said, until I go away, and when I go away, I'm going to send the Holy Ghost to my church. I'm going to send the Holy Ghost to you so you can be endued with power from on high. And that power is not just to shake. And that power is not to just speak in tongues. That power is to perform miracles and signs and wonders. That power is so you can live a clean, pure, holy life. He takes out that old stony heart and he puts in a new heart, a heart that loves God, a heart that wants to serve God, a heart that cries out, "I need you more and more every day. I need more of you, Lord. I'm not satisfied with where I am." See, the only thing I'm satisfied with is for 34 years, the only thing I'm satisfied with it, the fact I've never been satisfied. That's something inside of me that pushes me on, that thrusts me, that will cause me to drive 2.5 hours to sit in a revival meeting, that will cause me to get on an airplane and fly to a distant city to be in a great move of God. That will cause me to get on an airplane, my car, and drive all the way to South Bend to be in the presence of someone that I know is anointed with the Holy Ghost. That something drives us. Hallelujah. Jesus was led of the Spirit, but in Mark's translation, he said he was driven by the Spirit into the wilderness. I tell you, the Holy Ghost will lead you, but he'll put a drive in you. He'll put a passion in you. He'll put a fire in you. He'll put an anointing in you. We need the anointing of the Holy Ghost. Go on and praise the Lord for the gift, hallelujah, of the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. That's why Jesus told his disciples to go and tarry in that upper room and wait for the promise of the Father. So they returned to the upper room to wait for the Holy Ghost to come. And then in Acts chapter 2, he came. But do you know what it meant when the Holy Ghost came? to those disciples in that upper room. It meant that Jesus made it all the way back to the Father. He sat down at the right hand of God. And because Jesus made it, guess what? You and I, we can make it. The devil may tell you that you're not going to make it. But I'm here to tell you on the authority of God's word, if you'll just keep getting up. A righteous man may fall seven times, but if he'll get up, praise God, God looks at the heart, and God knows if your heart is to serve him, and you may be here today, and you may think, I can't live this thing. Give up and let Jesus take over. Give up and let Jesus take over. I said give up and let Jesus take over. And he will make a way for you. Oh, yes, he will. Go and praise him if you know what I'm talking about. Hallelujah. He will make a way. Amen. You're going to make it. Why? Because Jesus made it. And he's the first fruit of the resurrection. Amen. And because he made it, you and I, we're going to make it. Ain't no grave going to hold this body down. I tell you, ain't no devil going to hold it down. Jesus stripped him of his power, made a show of him openly, triumphed over him, and sent the Holy Ghost to the church so we could operate and do the same works that Jesus did. Amen. When Jesus came up out of that water, God filled him with the Holy Ghost. And if Jesus needed the Holy Ghost, you and I need the fullness of the Holy Ghost. Some people teach that the Holy Ghost is not for today. But don't follow some church doctrine. Follow Jesus. Amen. Follow the Word. Follow what the Bible has to say. Amen. Some churches will try to tell you that you don't need the fullness of the Spirit. That's not for today. But if Jesus got the Holy Ghost, let me tell you something. We're in 21st century. We're fighting 21st century demons. Amen. And the devil's come down in great power and great wrath because he knows his days are short. And that's why I'm preaching on this line. I hate him. I hate him, and it's all right to hate him. The Bible says Jesus loved righteousness and hated evil. Therefore, God anointed him with the oil of gladness above all his fellows. If you want joy unspeakable that's full of glory, learn to hate sin. Learn to love God. Learn to love his word. Learn to love his people. Learn to love the church. Learn to love your family. Learn to love everybody. By this shall all men know that you are my disciples if you have love one to another. Not if you got an old sanctimonious critical spirit. That doesn't save anybody. It was the love of God that conquered my heart. It was him, hallelujah. It was Jesus Christ that conquered my sin, that conquered my heart. When I found out how much God loved me, oh, it just caused me to want to serve him. Oh, hallelujah. I tell you, he can cause you to run when nobody's chasing you. He can cause you to dance when there's nothing to dance about. He can cause you to dance and shout and scream and yell, glory, 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 just cause you feel like it. Cause you've been washed, you've been changed, you've been sanctified, you've been filled with the Holy Ghost. And you get to preaching and you can't even speak in tongues, speaking in English, because you carry it over there into another world where all things are possible to him that believes. We need the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Amen. The Bible tells us that after Jesus was filled with the Holy Ghost, he was led of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. And Jesus put the devil where the devil belonged, in the wilderness. He defeated him when he came out of that wilderness. And it's up to you and it's up to me to put the devil where he belongs. He doesn't belong in your head. He doesn't belong in your marriage. He doesn't belong in your finances. He doesn't belong in your home. He doesn't belong on your back. He doesn't belong in your body. There's one place he belongs, and that's under your feet. Hallelujah. Glory to God. My back's been out of whack, but I can still dance and praise him. Oh, it may hurt a little bit, like that song we were singing. Can you praise him through the suffering? Can you praise him through the tears? Can you praise him through the hard places? See, these things, they're just light afflictions compared to the glory that we shall... Oh, shakabarianda, go on and praise him. Compared to the glory that we shall receive. Hallelujah. When we see him face to face. Glory to God. Bible tells us that after Jesus Wilderness experience that he returned to Galilee in the power of the Spirit. And as was his custom, he went into the temple and he began to read the scriptures. And Jesus began to read the scriptures and he began to teach them as one that had authority. Oh, you go to college and thank God for education. They try to fill your mind with all kind of nonsense. They don't have authority if they move outside of this book. Hallelujah. The only authority we have is in the name of Jesus. Oh, they may have position, but they don't have authority. God, Son, Jesus. God said, all power and authority is given unto me, both in heaven and in earth and under the earth. He's the one of authority. Amen. But look at Mark 1:22. Jesus began to teach these religious people as one that had authority. And they were astonished at his doctrine, for he taught them as one that had authority and not as the scribes. Now I want you to notice this. And there was in that synagogue a man with an unclean spirit. The devil came to church. And he cried out, saying, let us alone. What have we to do with thee, thou Jesus of Nazareth? Art thou come to destroy us? I know thee, who thou art, the Holy One of God. You see, the demons, they recognize the anointing that was in Jesus. And guess what? If they recognize the anointing that's in Jesus, when you get that anointing, they'll recognize the anointing that is in you. You can push the devil around. Some people say, I'm afraid of it. No, you don't need to be afraid of him. The Bible says, thou believest there is one God, thou doest well. The devils also believe and tremble. So just invoke the name of Jesus. Take these exceeding great and precious promises and begin to tell the devil who God is and who he, the devil, is and who you are as a child of God. It'll transform your whole world. People have been telling me all my Christian life, you can't have that. You can't have this. You can't have that. Nobody can be as happy as you are. You can't have all that joy all the time. Well, I got it. I got it. I got it. I got it from Jesus. I put John 15:11. I read this one day, and when I saw it, it changed my whole world. Jesus said, these things, John 15:11, these things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. When I saw that, I said, Lord, I receive it. And I received it. How do you get a gift? How do you get any gift? You receive it. How do you get the Holy Ghost? The same way you got saved, you receive the gift. How do you get sanctified? How do you get delivered from those chains and bondages of the past? You receive it. And that's how you get him. You receive him. Hallelujah. When someone comes to your door, you don't just, you know, they knock on your door. If they want to get in, you got to receive them. You got to open the door and you got to let them in. Hallelujah. And that's how you get things from God. Amen. Hallelujah. Verse 24, Jesus spoke with authority, and these demons said, let us alone. What have we to do with thee, thou Jesus of Nazareth? Art thou come to destroy us? I know who thou art, the Holy One of God. And Jesus rebuked him, saying, hold thy peace and come out of him. I don't imagine Jesus said, hold your peace and come out. He spoke with authority. Hold your peace. Come out. And that's how you do it right there. That's how you win the battles of life. You don't sit back and let the devil run havoc over your home and over your marriage. You say, get out of here in the name of Jesus. I have authority. I have power. And I've got the Holy Ghost. And greater is he that is in me than you. You used to be my master, but I changed masters. Now Jesus is Lord, and I've been filled with the Holy Ghost. So I'm just not like other people. I'm a little different, devil. I've been filled with power from on high. And I recognize who I am. And you recognize who I am. Because just like you came against Jesus, hell will fight me and hell will fight you over what God has said about you. But you got to stand up and take it. The Bible says, Jesus said, the violent take it by force. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Jesus had been into that temple many, many times before. That was his custom. But this time, something was different. The Bible says how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good, healing all that were oppressed of the devil. Jesus had been filled with the Holy Ghost on this occasion, and the demons recognized him. They recognized him because he was anointed. It was Jesus' custom to go into that temple. He did that on the Lord's day, and he would read the scriptures. But when he read the scriptures on this particular day, the devils cried out, and they recognized the holy anointing that was on the Son of God. Now think about that. Jesus, the Son of God, needed the Holy Ghost. See, he divested himself of his deity and came to earth and was formed and fashioned as a man. He became like us. And God filled him with the Holy Ghost so that when he sent the promise of the Spirit to the church, you and I, as sons of men who became sons of God, we could do the work that Jesus said that he did and the greater works. Hallelujah. So you got to get a hold of this. See, there's a lot of scripture being read in churches today, but that's not disturbing hell. The letter kills, but the Spirit gives life. And you and I, we need to be filled with the Holy Ghost. And the church needs more than words. We need him, the Holy Ghost. And we need his power. We need his signs. We need his wonders. We need his manifestation. We don't just need it here in the church. We need it when we get home. We need it when we go outside. We need it when somebody shows up at the door. You need him when you get to work. You need the Spirit of truth to give you wisdom and knowledge and understanding. And he said, sometimes you won't even know what to say. He said, but don't you worry about it. The Holy Ghost, he'll tell you what to say. Go on, praise God, if you've all experienced such a great blessing in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. We need the signs and wonders following the preached word. As he is in the world, so are we in the world. We're here to do the works of God. So many believers, they never look up. They never look up to thank God for his blessing. Oh, you don't know what I'm going through. Oh, you just don't know how my husband treats me. You don't know how my wife treats me. You don't know what my children, you don't know what my family said to me. You don't know what Sister Bucket Mouth said. Or Brother Bucket Mouth. Oh, you just don't know. Well, I know him. Hallelujah. And sometimes silence is golden. Thank you, Lord. Let me say that one again. Sometimes silence is golden. You have any idea whose feelings you hurt by some of the things you do? Sometimes it's just wonderful. And I have to practice this. Sometimes I just feel like firing back. I'm a warrior. I mean, I am a United States Marine trained to take your head off. And sometimes I just feel like firing back. But you know what? The Holy Ghost, he helps me. Thank God he helps me. One man said, I don't believe in that Jesus you believe in. I walked away from him and he hadn't done me nice. I walked away from him. I said, he better believe. I said, because if it wasn't for Jesus, I'd have took him out. I said, he needs to have some faith in Jesus. Hallelujah. See, we all flesh. Everybody's got some flesh. And that's why the Bible says, walk in the Spirit, be filled and filled and filled with the Holy Ghost. Because you got flesh, and guess what? I got flesh. And others have flesh. Silence is golden. Hallelujah. Amen. Jesus lifted up his eyes, and he would pray and say, Father, I thank you. Can you count your blessings for what God has already done? I mean, I'm getting somewhere near the end of my journey. God said, I'm going to give you long life and show you my glory. But I'm closer to the end of it than I was when I first began. I mean, I know that. But the thing is, I want to grow in God. I want to be a blessing to other people. I want to be filled with the Holy Ghost because I can't do it in my own strength. When Jesus was standing at Lazarus' tomb, he said, Father, I thank you that you hear me. Lazarus, come forth. He didn't even petition the Father. He was full of the Holy Ghost. He had already prayed his prayers. He'd slip away and pray. And then he'd just stand up and give the command of faith. And Lazarus came forth, hallelujah, and lived again. Amen. See, God wants us to have some power about us. And when Jesus spoke and when he prayed, supernatural things happened. The letter kills, but the spirit gives life. See, it was Jesus' custom to go into that temple and read the scriptures. But now Jesus is completely different. He had been filled with the Holy Ghost. And the devil knows who he is. If you don't have the Holy Ghost, the fullness of the Spirit, you will never disturb the powers of hell. Never, never, never. That's why Jesus sent the Holy Ghost. He said in the Great Commission given in Mark 16, he said, "These signs shall follow them that believe. In my name they shall speak with new tongues. They shall cast out devils. If they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall lay hands upon the sick. They shall recover." That's what the church is supposed to do. We don't see it every time. It's the word of God being preached. And the manifestation, they come as the Holy Ghost shows up. And we got to give him some seed. There's a seed time, harvest time. See, you heard the gospel, most of you, many times before you were ever born again. But the Bible says being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible seed by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. Hallelujah. So the word must go forth, and then the word will bring forth of itself. Hallelujah. That's why I love to get into the scriptures. That's why I love to preach the word of God. Because if I don't see it today, guess what? I am going to see it. Hallelujah. Because the word will bring forth of itself. If I don't get my blessing today, guess what? I'm going to get it because goodness and mercy, they follow me everywhere I go. Do you feel that good? No, I don't feel that good. I just give him a sacrifice of praise. Oh, I'm just beside myself. They said, "Paul, why you're beside yourself?" I think it's time for the church to get so full of the Holy Ghost, we get beside ourselves. Amen. And people don't understand us. You're a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a peculiar people, that you should show forth the praises of him that called you out of darkness into the marvelous light. I have no idea what you're talking about, Pastor. Get into the book. Get back to church. Get filled with the Holy Ghost, and you will know. Go on and praise him. Hallelujah. Glory. Now, this was the beginning of the miracles that Jesus did. After he got the Holy Ghost, he began healing the sick, opening blinded eyes, opening deaf ears, raising the dead, and exercising power over the elements. And Jesus ministered in the power of the Spirit for 3.5 years. Then he went to Calvary, to an old rugged cross. And he gave his life a ransom for all. When God's eternal time clock reached a precise moment, God sent the Holy Ghost into the region of darkness. The Son is in the throes of death, but God breathed into him the eternal Spirit, and up from the grave he arose. Guess what? When you got saved, God breathed the Spirit into you. And all of a sudden, you were raised from spiritual death, and you became a child of God. Oh, I tell you, there's some wonderful, rich things in this book right here. Oh, it's so much more than just being saved and getting a ticket out of the fire pit. Amen. If it takes that to preach you out of hell, I'll preach that to you. But I just rather preach on the goodness of God and the works of God and the mercy of God and the love of God. Because God loves us and God is love. But we got to preach it all. Amen. Now, Jesus, before he ascended unto heaven, he tells his disciples, "But you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you." And so they return to Jerusalem to wait for the promise of the Father. Now look at this, Acts 2 and 1. When the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord. They were in one accord again. In one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven that was a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. There appeared unto them cloven tongues like as a fire set upon each of them. They were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with tongues as the Spirit of God gave their utterance. They were filled with the Holy Ghost. They came out of that little upper room drunk. And Peter said, they're not drunk as you suppose. They're drunk. They were reeling. They were rocking. They were dancing. They were shouting. And the people said, what meaneth this? See, there's always been a confusing element about Pentecost. There always has been. There always will be. And people won't understand it. The natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. They're foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them. They are spiritually discerned. It takes the Holy Ghost, amen, to show you those things. But Peter, he comes out and he begins to preach Jesus. And he tells them, he said, repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Have you repented? Have you been baptized in the name of Jesus for remission of sin? Then you are a candidate for the Holy Ghost. Amen. He preached his message. Their hearts were pricked, and 3,000 souls were added to the church that day. Hallelujah. Because they had been filled with the Holy Ghost. See, the church couldn't do anything until they got full of the Spirit. And guess what? The church today cannot have a watered down gospel. We don't need to live in the smoke and ashes of yesterday. We need the fire of the Spirit today. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Then in Acts 2, Peter and John, they see a lame man at the gate, beautiful. They're going to the temple and praying. This man is begging for money. And Peter looked down and said, silver and gold have I none. I can almost see the disappointed look on that man's face. But Peter said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee. Look on us. He said, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And the power of God hit that man in the legs. He went into the temple, leaping and dancing and shouting and praising God. There ought to always be a lift in our preaching. Jesus, he always lifts people. He doesn't push people down. If you got Jesus inside of you, you got a lift in you. You'll encourage people. You don't push them down and talk about them. Oh, you don't let a critical spirit like that get on you. Why, I'm full of the Holy Ghost. I'm sorry I said that. Some people need to go to their brothers and sisters and say, I'm sorry I did that. I got in the flesh. Have you ever had to apologize? I have. Nothing wrong with that. There's a real devil, and he's trying to keep you from getting all that God has purposed for your life. Hallelujah. We need the Holy Ghost. Then in Acts 8, Philip, he goes down to Samaria. He preached Christ unto them. That was a great move of God because Philip was full of the Holy Ghost. And the people gave heed to the things that Philip spake. They saw the miracles and the wonders that he did through the anointing of the Holy Ghost. And the Bible says that great joy filled the city. Hallelujah. I tell you, I need new converts. I can't stand it to get in a place where there's no great joy. I just can't stand the oppressive power of the devil. I'll break out and shout and dance if I have to drop the hat. I told somebody, I said, I could dance in a hat full of devils. And I'll drop the hat just to dance and praise God. Hallelujah. Get that kind of attitude. It'll change your world. Amen. Great joy filled that city in Samaria. Disciples at Jerusalem heard about the revival, and so they sent the big guys down. Peter and John. And they laid their hands on them and they received the Holy Ghost. Amen. We need the Holy Ghost because he will help us. And then he will help us to break with the things of this world once and for all. When you're baptized in the Holy Ghost takes up residence in you. Look at 1 Corinthians 6:19. What? Know you not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which you have of God, and you're not your own. Amen. We've been bought with a price. Amen. See, the Holy Ghost, he comes to drive out all the remaining claims of that old sinful nature. Oh, we need to get sanctified. We need to get purged. But then he comes and he purges all evil. He pulls down all rule and authority and keeps right on sanctifying us. Amen. And he raises up a holy standard in our life so the world will know that we've been changed. He notifies the devil, this temple belongs to God. See, the Holy Ghost is the Spirit of truth. And when you receive him, you get the mind of Christ. Amen. And guess what? And when you get that, you live a life in a manner that it lines up with the Word of God. And you love doing it. Acts chapter 10, I'm just going to finish this thing up, taking it right through a Bible tour. Acts chapter 10, Peter preached at Cornelius' house, and while he spoke, the Holy Ghost fell on them, the Gentiles, just like he did at the Jews at the beginning. So, see, the Holy Ghost is a whole lot more than tongues. That's just initial evidence. But we find Paul going down to Ephesus, and he preached Jesus to them. And the people gave heed, and he preached that they should be filled with the Holy Ghost. He said, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? These were 12 good men, Pastor Ricky. These were people that they had never heard about the Holy Ghost. Paul said, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? They said, well, we've not even heard about the Holy Ghost. He said, how were you baptized? They said, under John's baptism. Well, John preached the baptism of repentance. But Paul preached Jesus, baptized them, laid his hands on them. They received the Holy Ghost, spoke in tongues, and prophesied. That's the biblical pattern. Jesus said that the Holy Ghost would teach you and lead you and guide you. Well, that's fine, preacher, but how do I receive the Holy Ghost? You receive him by faith, just like you get anything from God. You receive the Holy Ghost by faith. Amen. See, Paul asked him at Galatia, he said, how did you receive the Holy Ghost? See, they had gotten over to legalism. And he asked them this question. Look at Galatians 3 and 2. This only would I learn. Receive ye the Spirit, the Holy Ghost, by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? See, it's by faith that we lay hold of these great promises. That's why you have to hear the word preached. That's why you have to have a desire for more of God. The word is like pouring salt on meat. We're the salt of the world. And when I pour the word on like that, it makes you thirsty for the things of God. Let us stand. Hallelujah. Many of you need a refilling. The Holy Ghost will change your attitude. He'll change your marriage. He'll change your home. He'll give you power. He'll give you a new fire. He'll give you a new fervor. I want us to come to the altar and say, Lord, I need a refilling. Whatever your need is. Lord, I need more of you. Lord, my marriage needs healing. See, the Holy Ghost is not just a shake. He'll cause you to shake. But he'll help you in your marriage, I promise you. He'll help you get healed. He'll help you to make right decisions in life. Let us all come. Let's get together. They all with one accord. I read it to you two times. In Acts 1, they were all with one accord, one place. Acts chapter 2, they were all with one accord in one place. Let's get together, church. Come on down and help your brothers and sisters. Pray for them. Some of them got marriage difficulties. Some of them got financial difficulties. Some of them got children that are giving them a hard time. Some of them got problems. I had a man call me and bowed his heart to me. And as I was working yesterday, I kept praying. Another individual called me about a child. And all day long I prayed and kept those people on the altar. See, that's what the Holy Ghost will do. He'll cause you to love and he'll cause you to pray. And you don't have to just, you know, find the prayer closet all day long. You'll find the prayer closet. Holy Ghost, fill us.
Yes, Lord.
Holy Ghost, breathe on us. Holy Ghost, help us. I need help, Holy Ghost. You're welcome, Holy Spirit.
Come flood this place and fill the atmosphere.
Flood this place, my body, Lord.
God is what my heart's long.
If the spirit of him that raised Jesus from the dead dwelleth in you, he that raised Christ from the dead shall also quicken, give life, heal your mortal body. We need the healing, miracles of God.
Your
power to witness, to get our families saved. power to live above sin, power to love the things
Holy
of God.
Spirit, you are welcome. Come flood this place and fill the atmosphere. Your glory, God, is what I now long for. To be overcome by your presence.
Father, you've begun a good work. Complete it. Woo! Holy Ghost, thank you for the miracles, signs and wonders. It's just the Lord's life. Glory to God. Restoration of sight. Restoration and healing of this body. Glory to God. Restoration, Lord. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for the work. The work, Holy Ghost, that you've done. Brother Cal, this is the best life and in the family there. We praise you, Lord. We thank you, Lord. I thank you for the work you've done in my life that you continue to do, Lord. We need you, Holy Spirit. We need you. We welcome you. We open our hearts like that early church. Fill us. Fill us with your power. Fill us with your glory. Fill us.